everyone. It's Angela with the podcast Refocus with Angela Stevens. I am so excited and so delighted to introduce you to our guest today, who has actually become a good friend that I met recently at a conference, and I'm so delighted. And his name is very catchy. You might have heard of him before, but his name is Dr. Red Cross. It's actually Dr. Ken Red Cross. He's not with the Red Cross, which makes him so interesting, but he is a board certified internal medicine physician. He offers a unique concierge service that provides patient first treatment through Strategic Health Services. We're going to find out more about that, but thank you so much, Dr. Red Cross, for joining us today.
Oh, thank you for having me on, Angela. I am equally excited to be on with you today. We've waited a while, but we've been able to make it happen. So thank you. Thank you so much for having me on. And I'm happy to meet everyone out there.
You are so welcome. So I just have to explain how this happened. So I'm at this conference, right? And I'm running to a meeting. I walk down these stairs and I see this guy, and I don't know why, but he and I just clicked. He has the most amazing personality. And he and I just started talking about nutrition and wellness and, yeah, and physical being and mental health awareness and just a lot of different things. And he was as fascinated at our company as I was with his company. So before we get into everything about how you focus and what you do, tell us a little bit about what you do and what's different and what's your style from all the other physicians out there.
So look, I am so incredibly blessed to do what I do because I feel like I'm not even working every day. Look, one of the things I found that was important to me, Angela, especially in the beginning of my practice, is that patients need to be happy in addition to having good healthcare outcomes. And so how did that happiness come about? Well, it's that relationship with the doctor, making sure your doctor felt like a member of your family. And that was something that over the 20 years of my practice, I started to see that relationship eroding. And so I decided to dive in head first and say, gosh, I know I don't feel great. And I know my patients or patients all around the United States and the world don't feel great. So what can I do in my little small way to make a difference? And so that was when I started my concierge many moons ago. It's funny how time flies, Angela, when you're having a good time. But many moons ago, I decided I was going to go out and create a model on my own that made sure that patients were held at the tip top as they should be in this healthcare world that we're living in.
Yeah. So when was that change? I mean, when was it that you made that change?
You know, look, it was interesting because when I got out of training, I trained here in New York at Columbia. And I remember, you know, being bright-eyed and bushy-tailed and running out and wanting to go and see patients. Then I started to realize that year after year, I didn't have time with the patients. Right. I was kind of mandated to see a number of people, but it didn't allow me, as I always like to say, Angela, to get into the soul of the patient. I couldn't do that in that time. And I didn't know for years, why did I not really feel fulfilled, as I like to say? And what was that all about? And I realized because I wasn't making that connection that I really truly felt that I was born to do. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know why that frustration was there and how I can make it better. And it was one day, I'll never forget this. I took care of a young lady. So I started, my first job was working with migrant Mexican farm workers out in Oxnard, California. And I did that for a while. And then I transitioned into LA in the Beverly Hills area. And I had a young lady that came in. She had an executive she was working with who was too busy to come out because he was like, I'm writing this movie. I have no time, but he's not feeling well. I asked her if she could get me on the lot at Universal Studios. She got me on the lot. I went in there and all I had, Angela, was a prescription pad and a stethoscope. And I went in there to see him.
And they said, you're an actor and you need to go to stage. What?
Exactly. Exactly. I was like, no, guys, no, that's not where I'm here. So when I went to see him, long story short, I saw him. He was so, so happy. And he says, Doc, how much do I owe you? And I said, I don't know, $100. I don't know. I've never done that in 2007. But the point is, he was like, no. So he wrote this big check and so forth. So it wasn't about the money aspect of it, Angela. It was the happiness that I brought him and that it brought me from feeling like, oh my gosh, I got a chance to really talk to him and get to know him and have that relationship. So that's when I kind of realized way back in 2007 that things had to change and there was another way to make patients happy.
Yeah. Do you see people now nationwide by video or do you see them just in a certain segment of the US or how do you see patients?
So three different ways, everyone. So with my strategic health services, I have my house call service where I'm in New York, Connecticut, Jersey area when I can actually go to their home with my little black bag. The other thing I do is I have what I call strategic advice. That, Angela, allows me to have somebody who was in the Basque area of Spain or in Canada who says, look, I saw my doctor. He or she brought some lab tests. I don't really understand. And they're too busy. What do you think I should ask them? Or what do you think this is all about? And the third thing I do is I help families keep their loved ones aging in place. In other words, people who are part of that sandwich generation, older yeah. parents, younger kids. And so I try to help them keep their parents home and out of the hospital or out of assisted livings and that sort of thing, where there could be a lot more love in the house and bring the services to them.
That's great. So if anyone's listening to this, they can contact you. Is that right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay. So we'll put a link on our show about that as well. So let's talk a little bit about the patient-doctor relationship. So I'm going to use my own experience for a second. When I grew up, I was raised, you know, you go to the doctor knows everything. The doctor's right. And you listen to them and you go by that regimen. And there's been a couple of times where, you know, I was concerned about a certain thing or whatever, and I couldn't get my doctor to listen. I couldn't get them to understand that, hey, I'm really hurting in this area or something. And, but I kept thinking, I've got to go to this person, right? Got to go.
Yeah.
And then when I started working in the whole nutraceutical industry and the wellness industry, I realized that that is actually not the case. That right. Doctors can dismiss you, right? They can decide to make that change, but also patients can do that. And it's so important because you should be able to talk to your doctor about anything. Is that correct?
That's right. You know, it's funny you say that. I always say any show or anything you see me on, I always say that a doctor should feel like a member of your family.
Yes.
And I truly, truly mean that, Angela. Look, it was so important to me. I wrote a book called Bond, which is just solely on the importance of the patient-doctor relationship. But the four important things, trust, respect, empathy, and communication. And those were the four things that needed to really be aligned to have that relationship, just like you're talking about, Angela, where you should never feel dismissed if there's respect, if there's communication. And so those are the things that fall apart during the patient-doctor relationship, which you're seeing now with 7.5 minutes with your doctor. Not enough. And so that sort of thing has to change. And that's why this practice or what I do is very, very unique.
Yeah. So let's give some of our listeners some advice here, because I've done this before. I've changed doctors. And I always say changing your doctor is a bit like changing your hairdresser. That goes for all you women out there. All right. It's kind of like a divorce. We love our hairdresser, right? We go to them for years, and leaving them is like, it's traumatic. It's a big deal. And you men go, what's the big deal? But it's true, right? So if let's say you're going to a physician right now and you're not being heard.
Yeah.
You're just not being heard. How do you leave a physician? What's the best way?
Well, I'll say the first thing, one of the first things to do when you're realizing that connection may not be there, is you have to kind of confront the physicians. And obviously I don't mean aggressively. What I mean confront them is, sometimes when we're in our little silos and you're in certain groups and you feel like you're part of that mill, sometimes some of my colleagues just don't get it, just don't know that you're not getting what you need. So if you feel like you're almost there, but you're just missing a few things, make sure you recognize your doctor is a human being just like you. I bleed the exact same way. I have my challenges and things that I'm thinking about as well. So bring me back down to earth, bring me back down to sea level, and say, hey, doc, we're missing a few things. But should that not work, Angela, the other thing that's very important as well, one of the things I talk about is obviously you speak with family and friends, with other docs yes. that tend to be a nice mix. That's always a good way to start. I also find that sometimes when you talk with the front office, even if it's, especially if it's a larger group, and you just kind of ask the front desk, you know, who do you guys go to? Any of you go to the doctors here or whatever? You kind of hear about that one to say, oh my gosh, Dr. So-and-so is fabulous. So it's a way to kind of gingerly let the doc know, you know, a little elbow to say we're kind of missing something and we're not seeing eye to eye. So you should not ever be bashful to just say that this is not fitting. This is your health that we're talking about here, right? And so it's important that it's a high value, a high yield visit. and also connection for many years to come.
Absolutely. And that's what I did with mine. I'm fortunate. I have a great physician now. They have the portal. You know, I can email her anytime.
Nice.
She always responds to me. And anytime I need to see her, she meets with
that's
me.
Beautiful.
I always feel heard. And if it doesn't work out, I'm going to call you. You know that. But if you do have a good relationship, I just really want to emphasize that on this show, because it's we're getting your point of view. And then now you're getting a point of view from somebody who's changed physicians.
Yep.
And once you find a physician that you connect with, it's magic, because you just feel like, hey, if you feel like you've got, you know, high blood pressure or your heart disease or something, you can go to you and say, hey, I feel this, and it can be addressed. You know, so I think that's really important.
And now a word from our sponsor. In today's world, employees expect health benefits from their employer. Organizations of all sizes need affordable, easy to manage health benefits to recruit and retain top talent. That's where PeopleKeep comes in to save the day. PeopleKeep is the number one rated HRA administration software for small to medium sized organizations. Thousands of employers trust PeopleKeep to help them reimburse employees tax-free for healthcare expenses, empowering employees to choose the products and services they actually want. When using an HRA with PeopleKeep, you have complete control over your costs by choosing allowance amounts that fit within your budget. Plus, administering your benefit is hassle-free. Most customers only need 5 minutes a month to administer their benefit. The PeopleKeep software and award-winning customer support team do all the heavy lifting to keep your benefit compliant and your employees happy. All you have to do is reimburse your employees through payroll. Ready to learn more? Visit peoplekeep.com/refocus to schedule a call with a personalized benefits advisor today.
So let's talk about you for a second. So you mentioned it, that we're all human, right?
Yeah.
And we've all got our bad days, right? I mean, and we have our days where we're just not on. We're just, we're missing the mark, right? And you come in and you've got to see 10 patients or whatever. What do you do to get yourself focused?
Oh gosh. You know, one of the things I did to get myself focused was to get myself in a position to where what I was doing really spoke to me and my soul. Took a while to get there, everyone, in 20 years of practice. And when I was able to do it about halfway into practice, but when I was in that particular arena where there was more emphasis placed on volume than value, I would always, always try to focus on what was the reason I was there. Mm-hmm. And I really and truly mean this, Angela, that I feel that my career and what I do, it's not really about me. It's about the souls and the people that I'm able to touch. And so that's what I did to focus and say, this was tough. I'm 40 charts behind, 40 patients behind everyone as far as my charting and information. But what was it about? At the end of the day, it was about Miss Jones and how I can make her happy and manage her diabetes and keep her on this earth longer. So it was one of those things that I used to, gosh, it was very, very tough to come back home and say, what happened from medical school to here? Very tough. But for me to refocus, always focused on them and focused on you. Just like I'm talking with you and people, everyone listening and watching, I'm focused on you getting something from me today that can make a difference in your life. And that's my best way to sort of refocus.
I love that. And really, you know, when you start talking to people, it brings you out of that world. It brings you, and if you're in the moment, you connect to the person and you feel like they're being heard, but you're being heard as
right.
well. I think that that is so important. Let's talk about your background. How come you wanted to be a doctor?
Oh gosh, I knew at an early age. One thing that's interesting, I'm the first doctor in my family. So, you know, I knew I loved biology. I knew I adored people, but once again, not really seeing that in my family. I thought I was going to be a biology teacher, which was fine. But I recognized that as I was going through college that, gosh, I have almost a 4.0 in biology. And I saw my friends applying to dentistry and pharmacy. And I never forget, my friends were like, so Ken, what are you going to do as they're getting their applications together? And just because I'm with everyone, I say, oh, I'm going to apply to med school, I think. And they were like, oh, great. So I went down that pathway. I was living with some fraternity brothers of mine. I'll never forget, I got a letter from the Medical College of Virginia that says, you've been accepted into medical school. And I call back to my mom. I'm an only child. So I say, hey, mom, I think I'm going to medical school. She's like, oh, my gosh. You know, so it was one of those things that I knew I adored people. I knew I loved biology, but I learned later that I could have I could really make a bigger difference and a bigger impact with what my strengths and passions were.
Yes, yes. I love that. I also wrote down a couple of things I wanted to ask you about. There was a question or a statement you said about empathy. And I would love to ask you this question. So first of all, there's people in this world that don't have empathy, right? It's not their fault. It may be in their chemistry. But for parents out there, we get a question a lot and they'll say, how can I get my kids to understand empathy? And what can I do to help create empathy? And I know that's a hard question, but I'd love your thought on that.
Well, look, so for everyone out there, just so you know, I know what you deal with. I have two 15-year-olds, I have 15-year-old twins. So these are things that really require discussion. Really, it's to sit down and get in the heads to really see where they are and do they recognize how fortunate they are. But you have to almost just continue to bang it in, because the society is a little different now. It's mm-hmm. almost like if you're looked at as tougher, or if you're on social media and you say bad things, and that's okay. And it really and truly isn't. And so it's one of those things that it is a proactive thing that you have to say, you know, we just rode through this neighborhood, and do you see how, you know, lucky you guys are, or how fortunate? So for me, it typically is just reinforcing that no matter where you kind of are financially, you're here, you're with your family, you can go and enjoy some of the activities that other kids can't. So it's important for me to really make it a proactive thing to really understand what empathy is. But to your point, Angela, a lot of that comes from your soul. A lot of that comes from who you are. So it's not that easy. It can be quite elusive.
Yeah. And for me, you know, it's interesting. I was a single mom for 10 years. I went through a very, very sad divorce. And I found out that some things happened to my ex-husband that I didn't know. And it was abusive. And so what I decided to do was to educate myself about that. I learned about what abuse can do to individuals. Certainly tried to help him with that. And then I learned about CASA, which is court-appointed special advocates, and that helps children that are in foster care. And I went and I learned about it. Next thing I know, I'm on their board. Next thing you know, I'm their president. I'm their vice president, on the board for 12 years.
Wow.
Best experience of my life. Then what I did is I took my son, and as an early age, we went in and he would volunteer with me. And those are little things in life that I always say, do those things with your kids, right?
Yeah.
I always say another rule of mine is no one has ever felt unwelcome in our home, no matter who they are. It's just not allowed, right? I have this thing and everybody thinks I'm funny about that, but it's those little things, right? That I think start with empathy. So I appreciate that as well. So, you know, you said you've got three main areas of your strategic health services. They are medical liaison.
Right.
They are medical advocacy, and then education and empowerment. So talk to us a little bit about that. So I think you've kind of touched on a little bit of those, but, you know, medical liaison, you want to touch on that for a second?
Yeah. So the reason why I say that, everyone, is that it's kind of tough when you get to the medical world and you need someone to kind of lead you to the direction you're going to. You feel very alone. I've heard patients talk a lot about this, saying it's very sweet. I have patients who still reach out to me from LA and says, oh my gosh, since you left, I haven't been able to kind of navigate kind of how to get to the right doctor or somebody that'll hear me and so forth. And so I enjoy trying to kind of find out what that issue is, peel back the layers of the onion and get them there to the promised land, as mm-hmm. I always joke about with patients, because it is so frustrating. And I get that because, look, we all have something that makes us the same. At some point, we're going to need a doctor. And if we're going to need a doctor, why can't that be easy or easier in order to get to one? Because all we're trying to do is all stay healthy. And so that's why that's such an important part of that. It gets back to that, to what you mentioned earlier. I want people and patients and everyone out there to feel like you're being heard. If you feel like you're being heard, that's kind of the first sort of battle to get over before we get to that health and healing.
Got it. And then medical advocacy, it's I'm going to guess on this is that you're out there educating the world, right? On that area. Was that a correct statement?
Literally the world. I was at a conference some couple of years ago. COVID pushed that back a couple of years, but I went to Berlin once again, talking about just that. When you talk about medical advocacy, the take home for everyone today, Angela, is I need everyone to kind of look in the mirror and really say, you know what? You matter. You matter. Your health, your problems, your challenges. Guess what? You matter. And so that's why it's important to say there isn't anything you shouldn't be able to discuss with your doctor. There isn't anything you should be bashful about. No, this is this life experience that we all live is not as long as we all would like. And so you sometimes need someone to kind of pick you up and say, no, that's not the way this is going to go. We're going to get you to that health path that you deserve.
Yeah. And it's almost like a circle, a team of people that take care of you, right? Because if you surround yourself with positive people and people that lift you up and you lift them up, it's really the prescription for success, in my opinion.
It is.
It truly is. And I have to say, you said something. You said, you matter. If anyone's seen our promotion out there, we wrote 2 guided anxiety journals and it says, it's all on anxiety. And in that promo, it says, you matter.
Wow.
And then, you know, education and empowerment, and you go around speaking. So if anybody's interested in you being a speaker, what do you speak on? And kind of give us just a little breakdown of, is it what we've talked about today, or is it to a different area?
You know, I think the important thing is just to recognize how we can be our best self. So when I talk and I speak at a lot of these conferences or gatherings, once again, it's the discussion of that life experience and our health span, right? How can we actually live this life that we all are here doing, but live it with high quality, with happiness and health? I always sign everything in health and happiness because those are my 2 goals. And so when you bring people together in one place and you have someone who, you know, like myself, is invested in yes. every single person that I have there, is to make sure that we're getting those connections and those synapses going, to make sure that we're all there for a bigger purpose.
Exactly. So you've got two daughters or 2 sons?
I have twins, boy, girl, twins.
Boy, girl. Okay. So we could take a whole lesson from you on this
one. Let's
talk about those, talking about focus. Let's talk about those days when, you know, they're either in a mood or they're not together that day, or, you know, everything's a little chaotic in your house. How do you calm them down? Because it is ADHD Awareness Month, and a lot of kids that have ADHD are a little hyper. I've had a child like that myself, but it could be any kid, right? Because they deal, as you know, our teenagers deal with more stress than we ever dealt with. And it's a different world, right? So how do you empower them to be their best on a daily schedule?
That's a great question, Angela. You know, they're even though they're twins, they're just 2 different beings, right? They have different things that kind of do it for them. For my son, when he tries to get refocused, boys, I've learned from even from friends, are a little bit difficult, a little different, let's say.
I got one.
There you go. So you get it and you get me. So one of the things that he typically likes that has been an outlet for him are 2 things. Number one, weight training. And like I said, he's only 15, but he really enjoys that. That's something that helps him even focus better for school. The second thing he's been gravitating towards is just this interest in just finance, right? Just like how business works, which is interesting. But
that's
those
great.
Are things that I know those are things that absolutely kind of refocus him. It just kind of gives him a straight line, I think. For my daughter, Sophia, it's a little different. She's a talker like her father. So for Sophia to refocus, it's really sitting down and going through all of the machinations of how I got to this challenge and this problem and how can I get out of it and what happens each way. So for her to refocus, it's almost, you know, a mind map she creates to figure out how she can kind of go through these sort of windows to get to where she needs to get to really, really be able to focus or refocus.
Yeah, I love that. So, you know, something in the media right now is the social media, right? On Twitter and Facebook. It is a big deal, right? In our anxiety journal, we always, my recommendation is to turn it off. If you can't be happy for that person, walk away from it and kind of get your mind refocused on something else. You got any suggestions for that?
One of the things I do is we make sure we limit their social media. I know that's easy to kind of say, like, oh, we can limit it. Look, there's these apps out there that can make sure that after a certain amount of time of the day, there's a usage, there's a cutoff. But I really mean it. As much as you've heard it, I think it's incredibly important. just so that they don't, number one, lose their creativity mm-hmm. and lose that ability to communicate. Mm-hmm. You know, social media, it's easy to say a lot of stuff behind a computer screen or behind the text. But once again, I need them to kind of come home and be able to turn their brain off.
Yeah.
To be able to turn that off and just take that deep breath. Breathing is so important for all of us to put that in focus and so forth.
Just walk away for a little bit. Just walk away. Yep. The other question on teenagers, I do want to ask you, because you are a physician, we get a lot of people that will write to us and ask us questions. So I've got a couple for you. The first one is video games. So, you know, boys especially are into the video games. Yep. You know, it's easier when they're younger, right? You have a little bit of control. But for the parents out there that got, you know, there's a lot of older kids that are living at home, right? That are on the games, things like that. I am a true believer. I believe it does affect them in one way or another.
Yeah.
What is your take on that?
So what I did at the beginning, guys, look, I'm a kid in the 80s and grew up and, you know, video games were just getting started.
Me too. We're kind of the same age, I think.
So you get it. You get how fun they
Atari?
Were.
Remember Atari?
Of course. I thought that was the best day of my life. That's one of my best birthdays.
Yeah.
But what I did, because I saw that and I saw where it was going, I didn't bring any game systems into the home. Angela, so they even complain to this day that, oh my gosh, my friend has this.
They're the worst parents ever.
We're the worst. But I'm kind of happy that I did it. And for some of my other friends whose kids are there, it gets back almost to that social media time when, you know what, there's a little window where you can go ahead and have a good time with this thing, but it's done. It's got to be cut off at some point. You know, before you know it, especially when you're playing video games, before you know it, Angela, 2 hours have passed. 2 hours of,
it's addictive.
Of kind of nothingness, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so it's scary. It's scary what we see. And you see that a lot of that, I think, reflected in society a bit, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
When you get back to that lack of empathy, when you're playing a game and you could shoot someone up and it looks so realistic, but it's not real. It's
so
that
true.
It's that non-reality, reality, give and take.
So
it's a challenge.
Yeah. No, I get that. And, you know, I'm the same way. I feel absolutely the same way. And I would say that it's okay to not be the cool parent. You know, other parents are doing that, it's okay to be the strict parent. I think I've been called that, you know, but it's okay. Cause you know what? I'm my child's advocate, right? I am thinking for them and for their future. Who inspires you?
Oh gosh, I think if I had to choose, I wouldn't be able to say one. I'd have to say my mom and dad. Look, growing up, they were my best friends, and both provided something different to me, kind of personality wise and drive wise. And so they've always been kind of my hero and shero.
I love that.
To really get me to where I got to, and I'm so fortunate to have had parents like them. So.
I love that. And the other question that we get asked a lot is failure. You know, you look at somebody like you, you're successful, you're a speaker, you're well known. Have you ever faced failure? How did you come out of it?
You know, one of the things I say, especially if I'm counseling someone or helping, is that I almost embrace any sort of failure you go to. I don't even really like the word to even use it. I just call it a challenge. But I embrace it. And you know why I embrace it? And I think it's important everyone out there really embraces it as well, is that if I hadn't gone through some challenges or some failures, in a sense, how would I know what success feels like?
Amen. Love it.
If I didn't really feel that, how would I know? So when those things happen, Angela, I embrace them. As crazy as that sounds, guys, and even though I am the most positive guy, I would say close to in the universe.
Yeah.
When I get there, I'm grateful. I'm grateful for that, because I wouldn't be able to recognize when I have an amazing day without an occasional rotten one.
I always say it's the joy in the journey.
Yeah. Good job.
And we have to keep that in mind. And I always say, I was a big Oprah fan when she was on her show, and she had Maya D'Angelo on there. And I'll never forget when she was going through her trials and her lawsuits, whether you like her or not, but I think she's great. But when she was going through all of this, she asked Maya D'Angelo, she said, why is this happening to me? And I'll never forget this. Maya D'Angelo looked at her and she said, you say thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And I was
mm-hmm.
like, that's it. That's it. So I've lived my life by that. I always think, yeah, you know, you learn from your, it's a journey and we all learn it, right? A couple other things. So you speak a lot on, you know, the holistic side of it.
Oh yeah.
I want to talk really quick on that. If you go to a doctor right now, that is, let's say they're not a holistic doctor, they're not into supplements, things like that. They're traditional medicine doctor.
Yeah.
But you as a patient want to learn more about health supplements, things like that. What do you do? What do you do? I mean, do you talk to your doctor about supplements? Do you just find out, do you have two doctors? What do you do?
Right. Oh, that's a great, great question, Angela. You know, I'd never even thought about that. So I'll tell you this. So I'm a Western trained physician, as I mentioned, but in a sense, I've kind of seen the light on the wellness side of things and how we can make such a big difference on the other side. And what I've learned from patients is that there are certain things that they're already taking, Angela. There are certain things that the medical Western docs don't necessarily know. So this was the time I found to kind of bridge the gap. When I was out in California, that's when I started to hear about Acidil. That's a homeopathic remedy that's good for heartburn, occasional heartburn, easy to take. And as an internal medicine physician, I didn't have to worry about drug-to-drug interactions, things that I had to educate myself on. And so as I got deeper and learned about the vitamin D story and all of these things, I started to recognize that patients need to feel comfortable coming to their doctors to say, hey, I heard about this newer supplement. What do you think? Do you think it's worth me really taking? And that gets back to that relationship and that bond that all of us should be able to have to go to your doctor and say, you know, what do you think about some of this stuff? It allowed me in the beginning to go back and do some research on my own, educate myself and sit down with the patient and get even closer to them to really talk about what's happening on the wellness side of things and how we can make such a big difference that way.
Yeah, got it. Okay, two last questions. All right. First one is this. If I'm a patient and I'm not seeing anybody right now, but I need to take the most essential vitamins or supplements.
Yeah.
What are the most important things that are safe to take that you think are the most important? Is it vitamin D? Is it vitamin C? What are those things?
Well, you hit the nail on the head. Look, guys, so if there's one thing we all leave with today is the importance of vitamin D. Why do I say that? Vitamin D affects over 2,000 genes, 36 organs. There's a receptor for vitamin D even on the brain. Why do you think that is? Because vitamin D can provide a sense of well-being, especially when you're deficient and it's brought up. But none of that matters, Angela, if you don't, number one, know your levels, or if you don't know that the level should be between 40 and 60. So you get into your doctor's office, you know what your levels are. There's a website called thepowerofd.org where you can go and get an at-home test kit to be sent home to you for a finger prick. So there's really no reason why we can't know what our vitamin D levels are. But vitamin D is something that you're hearing a lot about during the coronavirus, not for treatment, but for the benefit of what it does for our immune system.
Correct.
So that's something that we all need to be taking, is that kind of hero supplement that's affordable that we should all really be taking.
Okay, perfect. Anything else come to mind?
Yeah, also omega-3, which is important. Yes. A lot of good studies, and that's on the inflammation side of things. Look, guys, our body doesn't do well with inflammation, and when you think of things like omega-3, fish oils, healthy ways to get them. I'm a big fan of sardines, and so I get a lot of my omega-3 out of sardines if I'm not taking them with supplements. And so when we think of this interplay of things that can really make a big difference, then we also need to add magnesium. Magnesium is important for energy, which you get with ATP that we all hear about, right? Yeah. So when you think about what should kind of be in our cabinets, those are at least some three big ones that, once again, should be a part of everyone's regimen.
That's great. Thank you so much for sharing that, because I take all three of those and I would definitely recommend that as well. So, okay, we have one last big question. It's everyone's favorite. Let's say that you're going to speak today at a big conference, or you're going to a meeting to present, you know, what you do, but you are not on. You are having just one of those days. You don't have game on. So you get in your car and you're driving to that meeting. What is the music or the artist or the genre that gets you going, that gets you game on, that gets you focused so that you are on to present?
Oh my, this is, I'd have to say, as far as getting super duper focused, I listened to Mark Anthony, La Cantera Corriente.
Love it.
And I love that song. La Cantera Corriente is a song. It's about going against the current. And the point is, I feel like the way I'm practicing healthcare and hopefully resonating with patients and health and happiness, I'm kind of going against the current of where the current state of medicine is to get everyone nice and happy and healthy.
I love it. Well, we're definitely going to put a link on here. And I am so gracious that you took the time to speak with us today. And we'll put your website on there. And I would highly recommend it. Like I said, it was just a passing that I met Dr. Red Cross, and it was such a blessing. So thank you so much for being on our show today.
Oh, thank you for having me, Angela. Stay well and stay happy, everyone.
Absolutely.
Today's podcast is sponsored by PeopleKeep. PeopleKeep is the number one rated HRA administration software for small to medium-sized organizations. Thousands of employers trust PeopleKeep to help them reimburse employees tax-free for healthcare expenses, empowering employees to choose the products and services that they actually want. All you have to do is visit peoplekeep.com/refocus, and you can schedule a call with a personalized benefits advisor today.